Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Match Ball.
Hello and welcome to The Match Ball. Dan, Michael, and welcome back to COVID Charlie. He's back, it's Moscow. Back in Moscow seat. Probably some well-timed optimism is...
Tyler Roberts needs your support this evening.
Is overdue on this one, Moscow. Levi Solicitors. That's the important bit for today, isn't it? Levi's Solicitors.co.uk. Yeah, .co.uk/thesquareball for your 10% legal fee discount. I don't really feel like I've got a lot to say about that, other than it's a bit demoralising at the minute, isn't it? So I'm trying not to be negative about it. I'm just trying to look forward to 2022 when we might have some footballers again.
It could have been worse, is the main positive to take from that. The first half, Melier made some... Well, he was our best player in that game. Made some really good saves, and it meant we didn't get beaten by 7-0 again.
And the second half, they dug in. We didn't really give up many chances. I mean, yes, we gave up one very big chance. Tyler, crying out loud, just keep the ball. But they didn't really have a lot in the second half. And I think my overriding emotion now is that I'm, Leeds are almost irrelevant. That game was just always going to be what it was going to be. I really hate Arsenal. Now, there was the way that second half went. Why were they so annoyed? 3-0 up at half time against a team of
children,
and also some adults who I don't think were really on it, particularly in the first half. I felt, you know, if there is something to be cross about with Leeds, it's that some of the senior players didn't cover themselves in glory with the way the first half went. But they had the game won. So what the hell was all the crying and moaning and Arteta weeping every time one of his players is touched and demanding yellow cards for everything? Xhaka decides to try and snap Rafinha's ankle for no reason. And then
that's just what he does, in fairness. He is an idiot.
Blocking free kicks to delay the game, booking for time waste. How embarrassed must you be to have been booked? And it was Xhaka who was booked for time wasting at the end. 85 minutes gone against... As Bielsa said it perfectly this week, where he said, I would hate to be the person to take advantage of another team's misfortunes. And then there's Xhaka getting booked for time wasting. Was it 3-1 or 4-1 at that point? I can't remember.
It barely matters.
It was, yes. And they should be thoroughly ashamed of themselves. I'm glad I'm a Leeds fan, not an Arsenal fan, forevermore.
They seemed at it, like, with the opening goals as well, when there was the way they were celebrating and stuff. I just thought, what are you doing this for?
Yeah, it was way over the top.
It just seemed weird. It was like confusing because they'd not even got any stick, had they?
We are talking in the wake of some potential racist abuse having been given out, which we don't know the facts on that and what's happened.
Yeah, but I mean, there was no feeling within the stadium. It didn't seem.
It hadn't got poisonous, kind of thing. You mean?
No, yeah, I mean, yeah. if someone said, then obviously, like, they're a fucking idiot. So
I'm annoyed about them as well, actually, because I was ready to come in on a real high horse about the way that the Arsenal had celebrated their goals. And I didn't mean to call them the Arsenal then. I meant to say the Arsenal players. The way that Woolwich Arsenal celebrated those goals really annoyed me. And then there was the pause in the game where the referee went over and they were having a big debate. And it was Bernd Leno, their reserve goalkeeper, was talking about it a lot. And they were pointing at the corner where they'd been celebrating. And then that's why on the third goal, where they all started running over there again, it's the one thing Andre Mariner did right all day. He was like, look, your bench has just been moaning about something that's happened down there, and now you're running down there again. Don't do it. I can't even be annoyed about it because it sounds like somebody's taken it straight to the racist degree where it should never go. So all kind of moral high ground is lost, and you're just like, oh, fire off Arsenal, do what you want, celebrate how you want, I don't care.
We've come as close as possible to a cliche from Marcelo Bielsa. You know, he's normally very erudite and quite drawn out with his answers to anything. It was two different halves, said Marcelo, which is as close as you're going to get to it. It was a game of two halves.
Which, it was. But it's hard. I think it's hard to escape the fact that they probably had the foot off the gas for the for the second half.
That's what I couldn't work out, though, is if their foot was off the gas, what was all the whinging about?
Well, I think they decided to kill the game in a game that was already dead. Which seemed to be the way they'd done it.
A team that was already
well,
dead.
Yeah, it seemed like they had decided to save energy and just make sure we didn't get back into it. But it was a game we never looked like getting back into. I mean, at 3-1, there was a glimpse, wasn't there, of it?
Yeah.
What other chances were there? Put one decent ball across, which if someone had been there, but you can't you can't class it as a chance if someone had been stood there to kick it in, because they weren't.
Tyler had some shots when he shouldn't have. That was so. Rafinha had that one in the first half that he shot wide.
That was a decent chance, actually. Yeah, the Robert. Are you thinking about the Roberts one?
There were about three
on the edge of the box where he shuffled it onto his left foot and then put it, I'd say, about 40 yards over.
Yeah, he'd done it twice, shooting when he should have passed. And then I think the third one against somebody, he tried passing this time. I think it might have been to Click, and then Click gave it back to him. He said, "Go on, have a shot." It's like, he's done this twice. Don't make him, let him shoot again. And it was annoying. And then giving up the fourth goal was annoying, because overall, I thought Tyler Roberts was fine. I haven't had the opportunity to say in the last few games, but the way he's been playing generally, two beautiful crossfield passes today that you just think...
That one to Rafinha was good, wasn't it? Yeah.
You just think Tyler Roberts can't do that. So he's kind of been playing better than he usually has in this period of adversity. And then he's stuffed it up with...
he gave them a goal as well, didn't he?
Yeah, the goal is annoying. But Click gave them a goal as well.
Truthfully, it didn't matter, did it, the goal he gave away?
Were you still there when Adam Forshaw just stood and the ball was rolling towards him in stoppage time?
And Lacazette was behind him.
Yeah, so there was a lot of that going on. The shots, I don't mind about the shots. Just have a shot, it's fine. We didn't have any in the first half. So if he goes out and is like, right, I'll have a dig and see what happens. I'm ambivalent about it. I don't think it's the worst thing anybody's done.
What terrified me in the first half was the amount of time that, like, Odegaard kept just finding himself in space and just turn in, and somebody would just knock a ball inside. And
it was the first half was awful.
The speed at which they played through the lines was terrifying, and it's the difference between a side like theirs and a side like ours, unfortunately. And that's why
in fairness as well, it's a defence like ours, which was Cody Drama, Robin Koch playing his first game back. Like, if we've got a fully fit squad, he might not even get on the bench today, Robin Koch. But the fact is, we don't have any other centre backs. Aileen playing the left sided role. We've got a slightly out of sorts Stuart Dallas, who is still not a left back, playing at left back. And then the whole thing just completely fell apart. Well, I felt like Drama didn't have much help in the first half either. It seemed like he was getting overrun a lot,
and he looked every bit under 23.
He needed someone. I thought Rafinha, or there should have helped him out, or there should have been some adjustment to help him, because I did just feel sorry for
him.
There
was a point in that first half, actually, I think, where Rafinha had pushed forward on the right-hand side and I think had gone to help with the pressing, like the closing down of them pissing around with it at the back. And then they brought it over to the right-hand side and then just did a big cross-field to the left-hand side, and then Drama was stood there with two players bearing down on him. I think they actually messed that one up, but I thought, oh God, poor lad.
There's one, it might be the same one, but Rafinha was just standing and watching as this guy just ran around the outside of him and then didn't run. And I was probably, I know I always seem quite calm, and I'm calm, and I still don't think we'll be relegated. Half time, I was fuming. Rafinha seemed to have brought his Manchester City head to the first half of just being a total passenger. A big sulk and a big passenger. And I wasn't happy when the little telly cut to Deco.
Oh, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Here we go. There's the little telly belly.
I've got to bring back the hits. Yeah. Deco sitting in the West Stand watching him. And Michael Brown was in the West Stand as well. I've not had a good day. The things I've seen. So Deco's there watching him, and I don't know if there was a big thing of like, we have to save him.
Oh, January's coming up.
Take him to Paris and get him away from all this. So I had a bad feeling about this. And I think Ailing as well, I had to then calm it down, because he's playing left centre back and it's unusual, but he I thought did not play very well. And there was one moment in particular, I think it was Lacazette, who was his man, ran off him and he just let him go. He'd been completely fooled the way Lacazette just ran off him, and he just pointed at Robin Koch. He's like, just sort that out. And I was like, Luke, that's, as you're the captain and that's not really good enough. And I think that was the first half in general was just, I could take Cody Drama not playing very well and Joffe doing his best and all of that, but Click was weak for, I think it was their third goal. Although the goal, it might have been the first one, Xhaka dived.
Yes, he did.
And VAR should have ruled the goal out for that.
Well, the ref should have given a free kick for us, for a dive.
For simulation.
And then he just played on. And so, I mean, the ref was very keen to play advantage today, though, wasn't he?
The last thing we... And then never give us an advantage. And so I just want to... Any criticism I have of any Leeds player today pales into insignificance compared to my fury at Andre Mariner, who just... We don't want to play advantage. We want the game to be... This is the only time Marcelo Bielsa's team want the game to be stopped as much as possible.
And if we're totting up, that's Xhaka's first booking for a yellow.
Yeah.
He then stamps on Rafinha's ankle, which should be a straight red. And then he gets another yellow for time wasted.
We might as well bitch and moan about that, Xhaka, not red, because...
Because it is.
I mean, nothing really turned hugely on the game.
Why didn't the ref look at it?
I don't know. I don't know. VAR must have looked at it and thought it was
fine. But
they
always look at stuff like that. And he didn't,
it's mental, isn't
as
it?
Well, he didn't give a free kick for it, did he? No. So he obviously didn't...
Clear and obvious error.
So is there a clear and obvious error? There is.
He obviously didn't see the tackle, because if he did, he would have thought as an absolute minimum it was going to be a free kick. So he obviously hadn't seen it. So surely VAR should have said, you'd probably need to look at this.
It's just baffling, isn't it?
And he booked Gelhart about a minute later for one.
For the same thing.
Which wasn't actually quite as bad. Although, admittedly, I had a reasonably good view of that from the cop, and I thought he might go there.
Oh, really? Mm.
I've not seen it back since.
It wasn't that bad. And I think that's the thing as well with Xhaka's, is I think it could be a red, but it's not nailed on.
They're giving us reds all the time of those.
But then...
What are we talking? Are you trying to suggest that Xhaka shouldn't have been?
I think the reason he didn't get sent off is because the VAR judged it a yellow.
Right.
I think that, and they can't yellows as a clear and obvious error. So I think that's how it ended up being nothing. And I think that's a mistake, because I think it could have been a red. I think if it had been a yellow, you'd go, oh yeah, okay.
If he gives a free kick and he books him, then the VAR say you can have a look at it. But because he didn't give a yellow in the first place, he can't.
Yeah, well, VAR thought it was a red card and he'd made a mistake not sending him off, then they can say that should have been a red card, you've made a mistake.
Right.
But they can't say you should have booked him.
Okay, he should have sent him off.
In fairness, we're probably going too far down the Warnock route, because it didn't change the result, did it?
Well, it might have done send him off, and he's a vital time-wasting cog in their pissing, annoying machine.
Yeah. But I think we need to probably address the fact that we got pretty much battered.
Well, we've always gone
in the first half.
I mean, I put my optimistic £5 on us to win before I went down, but really...
That's why I just kind of feel a bit philosophical about the whole thing. I can't really get annoyed about it too much, because Bielsa's not for changing, but then you saw the amount of space that they just kept playing into, and what are we going to do?
It's not...
I just don't see a way out of it at the minute.
Something different.
Well, I don't know,
but he's not going to do, is he? So we're stuck with it until he's not here, and it's not a criticism of him. I like what he tries to do, but we've seen the absolute ceiling of this squad marrying up with his system, and it just doesn't work, does it?
We've seen the ceiling of it, it's worked. We finished ninth.
I mean,
the under-23s trying to do it with a bunch of
injured players.
That's what I
mean. The ceiling of the squad married up with his system. I mean, like, so basically, when we've got the squad fit, we're fine.
Yeah.
But we haven't got the squad fit, so we're not fine with it. And the idea of running a very, very small squad with this system, it's the very, very small squad that we have is not actually good enough, is it?
We've completely missed the fact that it got a little bit smaller today as well, didn't it? Because Harrison, I think Harrison
got
actually
kicked up the bum.
He got injured about the 7th or 8th minute, wasn't it? So he played on for like
around for 20 minutes.
Played on for like 20 minutes with an obvious injury.
Mm.
Stuart Dallas then down for some reason. This seems to be checking his ribs. Mm. And
was that the one that the ball got? Well, he was down a couple of times. There was one where I think he was on the ground and he blocked. He had a shot kicked at his head.
Yeah, it wasn't that.
Down in front of the Arsenal fans? Was it that one?
Yeah, it was just after he pulled back that their annoying number 18. Tomiyasu.
To let you know, Rich Lay has been in the comments on YouTube saying Xhaka had intent in his eyes, Joffe only had eyes for the ball. So that's the difference.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I would have loved to see him sent off. I just think that would be why VAR didn't do it, is they would have gone out yellow, and so they can't give a yellow on VAR. they should have taken it to ref.
It's actually a VAR, like video assistant referee, but only sometimes.
Yeah. Mm. That's the thing.
So the sometimes video assistant referee, SVAR. That's all I've got.
Bielsa has added as well that Cock and Rafinha were playing through knocks on the pitch as well. And then Gelhardt going above and beyond, which I noticed as well. I think it was about 70. He tried to run onto a through ball and he had nothing in the tank.
He did pretty well to Gelhardt.
He was great.
He did a lot of running about. Like he had no service, did he? And then he had to do so much charging around and he still had enough energy to win the penalty. Was it Ben White who fouled him?
Yes, it's an absolute... he was good for us. And now what's he doing today? One...
Rafinha hated him, didn't he?
Yeah, and I was trying to think, how do you get out of it? Like trying to explain to Calvin Phillips, like, oh, we lost 4-1. And he'll be, oh, yeah, that's pretty bad. And also...
How's Ben?
You know your mate Ben? Like, yeah, well, Rafinha's killed him. there is no more Ben. The funeral's next week. And then, yeah, his foul on Joffe was just brainless. It's an absolute dead-on penalty. Mm. There's not even a whisper of
it
not
being so. Are you saying he's a waste of money?
I'm glad we don't have him.
Could have done with him today, though.
We could have done with lots of things today. Should that game even have been played?
Do you think we'll be able to get him back on loan in the Championship next year?
Oh, we're not going down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Should that game have been played?
I'm going to say no.
No, I don't think so.
If it carries on the way it's going, we might not play any more games for a bit, both COVID and the injuries. I mean, part of the reasoning why Villa's game was called off was related to injuries as well as COVID.
So was it?
Yeah.
They're looking at everything in totality. If you say we've got all these players out with COVID, then they go, oh, well, where are your other players? They say, well, they're all injured. Oh, you'll have the game off though. But if you say we've got all these injuries, say, well, how many COVID cases have you got? Well,
I think it's four, isn't it, what they're using as a benchmark, yeah, people seem to be suggesting.
So that's the way that's working, and that's why the game was played. But there's even, I was thinking, from a fan point of view, we shouldn't have been there today. It's fine whether the players are healthy or not, but it was telling today that there was a lot of fan tickets on the season ticket exchange. People who've just gone, don't actually fancy this, week before Christmas. And I wonder if, on top of losing 4-1, how many people in the crowd today are going to be isolating over Christmas because they're being sent into a shambolic situation at a football match. And I think even aside from it, we've got into a daft situation with this game being the only one on this weekend where the Premier League have gone, oh, we don't think we should pause the season. We should get all the games played. And then all the games are off one by one. So they may as well have paused it in the first place. And then everybody has to play. I mean, there's a sense in a footballing sense that this might come back to help us if fix your congestion when other teams are trying to get these games on, and we could put our feet up for a week as we played and we lost. But I think there's probably it has that feel of the was it Atalanta who went to Liverpool at the start of all the
it was Atletico Madrid, wasn't it?
And there was a a game in Atlanta as well in the Champions League that then turned into, I fear the biggest impact of all that today might be upon Leeds NHS Trust rather than Jackie Harrison's dead leg.
You know, people did have the choice to go, and we all did.
Well, that's the other thing as well, is having to make that choice, and a lot of people chose not to go who will be down, you know, they've missed a game off the season ticket that they would have loved to attend, which is the whole point. You don't buy a season ticket then not be able to go to the games because you have to make the choice. It's just a bit, I'm not in favour of, like, I'm not out here saying shut everything down,
but shut everything down, do it.
But it just, I feel like everything is focused on, you know, do you get up to four players with COVID and then we have to call it off, and nobody's actually giving a toss about whether the fans are going to come out of this in a worse way.
It felt,
everybody's all right.
I thought it felt weird today, I have to say. People were...
Well, it was late to fill up, wasn't it, for a start?
And I think, like, you were looking at your phone. I mean, I was down there really early because it was a new mag and whatever. But every time my phone beeped, I fully expected it to be a message from someone saying, I've just heard it's cancelled.
Yeah.
And it was like, because the Villa game was cancelled so late earlier in the day as well. It was one of those where you think, well, even an hour before, it's not safe, isn't it? It could still be postponed. And there was a bit of me thinking, come on.
That's the other thing with, if you take it into
Let's come back and do this again with a fit squad.
For a wider view, is those fans who have travelled this weekend and they've ended up riding in a disease-ridden train carriage all the way to an away match that isn't even played, and then they won't get a refund on any of the tickets, and then they'll catch a virus and be ill for Christmas. It all just seems like there was a chant in, did you hear the chant from the northwest corner about Boris Johnson?
No.
The C word was used, and it's a long time since I've heard anybody singing about a prime minister at Elland Road. That was I couldn't work out if it was a real political comment or it was because Arsenal's goalkeeper looks a bit like him.
Does he?
From a certain light.
He's got blonde hair.
I was looking around for any kind of excuse as to why this had spontaneously come up, but yeah, that was interesting that's going on, and it's just weird that we end up being the only game being played under such weird
circumstances. The impact of moving these games late is a fair one. I think if the Premier League had more consideration for the people who make their product, being the fans and the players, they could have just gone, this isn't all great. Well, brilliant.
The question was...
I did a test this morning.
Because the games were being called off in midweek and they were already calling off games for this weekend on Wednesday and Thursday. So there's a big opportunity there to just say, this is looking a little bit dicey. And when it does get down to the fixture list, it's just down to one game. It feels like...
It's not a list anymore, is it?
It is not a list. It's a very short list. And I had to see Michael Brown.
I mean, that's the worst.
Can we genuinely actually take anything from today? Because that's where I'm kind of scratching my head from it, because...
Is Somerville injured?
I will have to look at the... I don't think so. I think it's minutes, because he's missed some games in the under-23s recently, and they were kind of putting him back in slowly. He came on in the...
It was about half an hour, wasn't it?
Minute 31.
Yeah.
And then Tyler Roberts hurt himself shooting, which I don't know if anybody else noted, but
was he shooting himself in the foot?
One of his shots in the first half, he walked away hobbling, which was great. He managed to run it off, so fair play to him for that.
Who was injured more, the person on Rosette or him?
Oh, it was a low one.
I think that shot, I think another one, the one that you mean, when he picked that up, and he could have actually driven on towards the edge of the box a bit more, couldn't he? But instead he kind of spooned it out off the outside of his right foot and it span away. At no point did I expect that to hit the net or for it to trouble the keeper.
Somerville came off in 81. So it's 31 to 81. Do the maths, somebody that isn't me.
What was that?
81 minus 31.
50.
So he played 50 minutes, so it's not quite an hour. Well, because he's done that before when, I can't remember which, but I think it was Rodrigo who came on and he played exactly 45 minutes over when he'd come on and when it went off again. So I just wonder if he... I don't think it was the way he was playing, because he was getting better and better. And I think it was did he feed Joffy to win the penalty?
I think he might have done.
Yeah. So, I think they must have just worried about him. And I guess they're trying to just keep as many of the senior players on as possible. If you've got some adults, keep them on the pitch. So if you wanted to change something, I can only assume there was something just to protect his recovery from his injury.
It's really not fun at the minute, is it?
No. Not really.
And what I'm struggling with most of all is kind of just my ambivalence towards it all. And, you know, like I always do this when we start, not just when we like West Ham game, was it last season when we came into it buoyant and they beat us and I felt really, really kind of annoyed and angry about it. And this is kind of a sort of a nihilism in terms of the Premier League. I'm just, every time this happens, I think, well, what's the point?
I'll be honest.
Premier League is just shit.
I don't feel that ambivalent about this.
Are you terrified?
I feel nervous and upset by it. This really isn't how I imagined this season going.
It just feels like we're in this almost this perfect storm, this vice of circumstance of being absolutely knackered by injuries, a tiny squad that everyone's been terrified about for years. And this is the point that I've made. It's a phrase I've used before about it doesn't cost you until it does. It hasn't cost us up to this point because we got promoted with it, despite being, you know, right on the edge in terms of having strikers available and stuff like that. We had enough in the tank. It got us to where we needed to be. It got us to ninth in the Premier League last year. But shit, when it goes wrong, when it stops working,
yeah,
it's really, really hard.
I think what's weird about it at the moment is we're almost beyond any of those arguments. When Bielsa was saying the other week, the injuries aren't that bad because every team has an average of 4 players out and we have 4 players out. And then a week later, it's 10. I don't know how big a squad you have to build to protect against that, especially when you look at the... it's all the defenders. Like, how many centre-backs? We need 8 senior centre-backs to get us through what's been happening at the moment. And I think it's almost beyond any kind of protection a big squad could give. This is just weird and ridiculous at the moment.
Charlie Creswell injured himself in training yesterday. And then, it is just one of those ridiculous things.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he would have played ahead of Drama, which would have allowed...
Yeah, Ayling would have played right back. Creswell sent off, and you wanted Creswell to be playing in this game because he looked fine against West Ham, and you think, mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. But then there is literally nothing you can do about a dislocated shoulder. And Harrison getting it's a dead leg, apparently. He just got kicked up the arse. It's a knee up his backside by so-and-so, just caught him right at the bottom of the buttock. I don't know what...
A knee up the backside, wow.
You can't... What happens when 10 minutes into the game, we've already got these players out, and that happens, and there's no real kind of, you can't say, Bielsa has said in his press conference as well that he doesn't think it's anything's linked to his training methods, and really a dislocated shoulder isn't.
Unless it happened in Murder Ball.
Well, even then, I mean, Murder Ball is just an intense game of football and nothing about it is calculated to dislocate a shoulder.
Although it's no rules, isn't it?
I assume they're not doing like body slams and stuff, though.
Well... we'd have to know exactly how we...
That there is scope for it. Let's not rule it out.
He might have stretched to catch a ball and his arm falls off. Anything could have happened.
that frequent injury that happens.
But, well, that's it. How many players dislocate a shoulder? And you remember Calvin doing it last year with just a tackle on the last day against West Brom it was just a normal tackle and he falls stupid. And then Harrison, absolutely nothing in that. Just going jumping for a ball and somebody knees the back of his thigh. There's nobody can stop this from happening apart from this cruel God who appears to have abandoned us.
It is a godless world, isn't it? I mean, that's become quite clear.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Perhaps somebody will be born on when is Christmas Day? Is it next
another
Saturday?
Week? We've got
25th.
This time next week, we'll all be dozing in a chair or whatever it is that we do on Christmas Day each and not having to think about football until lunch.
Self isolating on Christmas Day.
Until lunchtime on Boxing Day when we have to go and get pasted again, probably. Which is, that's why I feel about
it. I'm not sure that's going to happen side.
I mean, I hope it doesn't.
Well, one
sadly.
Of the players that Liverpool. Virgil van Dijk tested positive and then they weren't sure if it was a confirmed one. They were going to test him again. But there's no way Klopp is going to allow them to play
if
Virgil van Dijk is out. And he would miss Boxing Day as it stands. So maybe that works for us, but there's no way you can... Because having this meeting on... That's the other thing that's frustrating about the game going out today and being the only game going out today is they've decided we're going to have a meeting on Monday, and there are also scheduled meetings for Tuesday. So Monday's the chief execs, Tuesday's is coaches and captains, all having this big chat. And you're not going to have those three discussions without coming out of it and going, let's just take a couple of weeks off. So have it last week.
Yeah, there's a good point actually in this, in that we've still got players, because the cutoff for the yellow cards is the Liverpool game, isn't it? So we could conceivably have had Rafinha booked, let's say, today, and then he'd have to miss Liverpool. So we'd have been penalised for playing today when everybody else cancelled. Like in terms of suspensions and stuff, I don't think it came to pass, did it? And Christ, does it even matter?
The only problem is with them, if they don't, I think they probably will have a break. But the problem with them having a break is, what if everyone keeps getting COVID for like a month or 2 months or 3 months? You know, it's, we're back almost at the very start of this when we're in the championship. And it was one of those things where everyone was a bit like, well, we don't really know what is going to happen with this. And it was with the COVID back then, it didn't seem contagious enough that you couldn't keep it out of a squad fairly successfully. The way it has absolutely like rampaged through every Premier League squad this year, this week is, I guess, a little bit worrying for how, I mean, I guess people can't keep getting COVID forever, can they?
Well, part of the problem, and I was reading some stuff, I mean, we're getting into a sort of a non-match ball general discussion, but what the hell. Some stuff about how it's going in America and that they are trying to get ahead of it. And people are talking about changing the rules because if you are double vaccinated and boosted and you don't have symptoms and you test positive, they think they can bring you back sooner without the 10-day test that currently exists everywhere. They think, well, it can be over quicker and bring players back sooner without the... It's the 10-day thing that's killing a lot of people. Not killing a lot of people, that's completely
really,
the wrong phrase.
Really bad phrase.
It's causing the situation that's getting the games called off. The problem that has come up in the Premier League with these statistics on non-vaccinated players is that because they're not vaccinated, if they are a close contact of somebody who tests positive, they have to isolate for 10 days. So there's not even a choice. And that's not me saying that we have to pin every Premier League footballer down and stick a needle in their arm, but that is a consequence of why...
What about Xhaka?
Yes. Go for him like a Clockwork Orange.
I just go on to one of the comments before we wrap this up. Yeah. Tom is in the comments on YouTube asking why I was inspecting my Iron Brew sugar-free can, which you can see if you're watching the video version of this, you can see.
Because it's full of gin.
Because, Tom, I was wondering why it didn't quite taste as good as the other Iron Brew that we had, but I've realised we've gone from Iron Brew Extra to Iron Brew sugar-free, and they're not quite the same. It's sort of a Pepsi Max type, Pepsi type vibe. It's not quite the same taste.
I thought they just rebadged it.
So I just looked at the can as if to say, oh, what am I drinking here? And I don't know, to be fair. I don't even know what's in Iron Brew apart from girders.
Anyway, so the last thing I was going to say, so the problem we have is that there may not
be... It's got bloody caffeine in it.
There may not be lots of players catching COVID, but there's lots of players around players who are catching COVID who have to isolate under the rules. And that is an absolute... it's really annoying.
And it's probably meant we've not had our game postponed today because all our players are vaccinated.
Yeah.
Although they do call them off for positive tests rather than actual illness, don't they? It's
well, that's it. Well, it's, yeah, but it's the isolation thing is because they can say, we have all these players who can't come into training because they have to isolate because they've been near somebody who has tested and they are not vaccinated. Mm. Whereas with us, it sounds like Llorente has tested positive, but all our players are vaccinated, so they don't have to isolate. So we still have a squad of 5-year-olds.
Right, yeah.
So it's, again, the rest of football is conspiring against Leeds United. So I think this evening, everybody be nice to Click on Twitter.
He's not there anymore. Yeah.
Tyler Roberts is still there, but he has said that he doesn't read it. But so just don't waste any energy on lambasting him. Find Granit Xhaka's Twitter account and free for all, but keep
absolutely
it clean.
Absolutely piling, yeah. I mean,
I say something else about tonight? Yeah. Wasn't it bright?
Oh, it's very bright. Well, I think the fog made it worse as well.
It's the brightest lights I've ever seen.
Do we have fog lights on the floodlights?
I think so. I mean, I was, because I'm in the east, that, you know, like at certain times of year when the sun comes down over the west stand, which obviously will not be a problem when they build a superdome on that side of the stadium, which ain't going to happen now, obviously, because we'll be in the championship. But
we'll be the most popular team in the championship. We'll need that big stadium.
The sun drops down over the west stand. It goes right in your eyes. It's particularly... a problem, I think, in winter, you know, when the sun starts to drop early or whatever. Anyway, yeah, tonight, they've replaced it with two giant suns on sticks. That's what the floodlights are like. And yeah, and I think there's more haze from the fog.
Yeah, when I sort of stepped up into the ground tonight, I thought, bloody hell.
Got to get your lumens in, though, haven't
so
you?
So bright.
I bought some light bulbs for my kids this week, nice actually. Anyway. They're done in lumens, aren't they? So
I think all light's done in lumens, isn't it?
Yeah, it means light, doesn't it?
Yeah. You got some special light bulbs with some lumens in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You got
any lumens in yours, or are they just standard ones?
I've got some blue light blocking light bulbs.
Yeah,
as well to aid sleep.
Excellent.
Do you sleep well?
No.
Yeah, Stu's just in the comments pointing out it's bright for the UHD cameras. That's what I'm on about, the lumens. Yeah, yeah. They need a certain lumens value for the telly for 4K. Oh, no.
Yeah, I know we've had them before on, but I think the fog, it did just sort of light it up in a different way.
The fog lights.
It could have been, I went in there and I thought, this could be a really good game, this. And then about the first 2 minutes in, I thought, nope, we're fucked.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of hoping beyond hope in the run-up to this, as I mentioned on the Phil Hayes show, that you kind of always retain that hope that something magical will happen. And that is that's the upside of the Bielsa system, is that you always retain that hope. The downside is you can get absolutely rinsed for weeks and weeks on end when you've got no players to play in your team.
I think that's the overriding thing at the moment. It's the lack of players, and it feels like if we could just see our actual first team play for a while this season, I think we'll be okay. Mm. And so
we are at the end of a week in which we've conceded 14 goals, though. It's been pretty tough.
That's
to
quite a lot.
That's not sustainable.
That one, getting them all out of the way in one go is a good idea, though. Like if we do actually play on Boxing Day, get that one done.
Another eight, then.
So that's 20 for the fortnight. Get it out of the way, and then we can pack a Burnley,
okay,
and Villa, and win the FA Cup.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
That's all I've got for today, really. Are we happy to wrap it up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I still hate Arsenal.
Yeah.
More and more.
I just want this one done now.
Oh, and also
finish this one, get Liverpool out of the way, and then we'll talk.
Maybe this is more of a heroes and villains things, but Emile Smith Rowe is no longer a legend in my eyes.
Okay. All right. We'll wrap it up there. Thank you for watching. If you have been with us on YouTube, the brave souls that wanted to watch this in the immediate aftermath, and we'll see you in a bit. We'll speak to you soon. Bye bye.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.